You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I can't. Now Webster's riding around on Mike Tyson's shoulders.
What's what Webster
does? Did this kid ever walk?
No, everybody carries him and rides him around.
He was super cute. I'm not saying he wasn't. He was a cute kid. But he also was 13 when Michael Jackson. I mean, the picture some of you are sending us. KJ, your picture was terrifying.
This is disturbing.
Jackie, your picture with the baby bottles is terrifying. I had no idea about all this, about some of these pictures. Oh, boy.
I don't want any more. I don't want to see any more. No.
This is not the picture you want to see.
Wow, yet. What the hell? Anyway, 901 on ESPN 97.5. Do you see Brett McMurphy said that Ohio State and Alabama are playing in 27 and 28. Will they both? See, that's the problem with college football is you got to schedule out so far.
Is Jesse Jackson holding Emmanuel Lewis? I take it back. I take it back, Michael Jackson. I guess holding a 11 to 13-year-old toddler was totally normal.
What is this picture? Why is this, this guy on his back?
The guy laying on the bed?
That, oh, yeah.
That's the worst one
and
I've seen today.
And Michael straddling the guy?
Yes.
The worst picture you will see in July, I guarantee you.
What is going on here?
Can we stop this, please? Can we stop it?
Back to college football scheduling.
Go ahead.
That's what sucks. Nick's not going to be around in 27-28.
No.
And, you know, who knows? Teams could be crap by then. That's the shame of it. I mean, I'd love to see. Wouldn't you love to see Ohio State and Alabama this year?
Sure.
That'd be great.
Nick is 68. We're talking about 75 years old by the time.
Yeah, no, it ain't happening. Although, I don't know. He's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, who knows how long he wants to do this.
Yeah. You know what? He may still be there. The way that dude. I mean, what else is he going to do? Eat Little Debbie's? He's like you and Raheel. He wins a national title and he eats a Little Debbie.
I've never won a national title.
No, I know, but I would be out just wasted, probably vomiting. I'm probably in a pool of my own vomit.
Probably shaming the university that hired you.
Right.
Yeah,
and?
Certainly.
Like Sarkisian. That would be me.
Well, and did he keep his job very long?
I'd be Sark.
Hey, did y'all hear? I didn't tell you. You'll love this. I'll tell you this just so y'all can try to make fun of me if you want to. But Daniel Jeremiah made a comment. Some guy named Jordan Reed from Draft Network made a comment. Somebody said, hey, who are four guys who inspire you with draft work or something like that? Who do you look up to? And he said, oh, for sure my guys are Daniel Jeremiah, Lance Zierlein, Dane Brugler, and there was whoever was the fourth one. And Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, and DJ and I are good buddies, right? We're friends. We work on draft stuff together. And DJ said, oh, great. Thanks, Jordan, for putting me first. Now Lance with his ego is going to be upset that he wasn't listed first. Great, now I got to deal with this guy or something like that as a joke. The first person to like it, Sark. Steve Sarkisian, like, well, first of all, you know it's a joke, right, Sark? Number one. Number two, why are you liking that?
What history do you have?
I checked to see if Sark follows me. He didn't follow me.
Why? Wait,
was he upset? What's Sark upset with me about?
What you say?
I don't know.
What'd you say about him when he came out?
I didn't write it.
You didn't write him up?
Even though on our podcast, on Off Script, I think you guys will really like, you listeners will really like Andrew Perloff was on with us. And he told Eric the story about how they have all the draft picks read only the negatives about them, which Eric thought was hilarious. And so I went back and watched some of them. He said they even told Drew Brees. Drew was so fired up, like, I'm going to keep this. Drew Brees, this is in 2017. Like, Drew Brees is already in the Hall of Fame, basically. And he said, Drew Brees is still fired up about something. And he said, and we told him it was Lance that wrote it.
You were...
Let's go!
That's Sark. That's how I would be. Fight on, baby. Let's go!
You got to go through your history and find out what you said about Sark at some point.
Yeah, what did you say about Sark?
I never would have said anything about Sark. I just know Sark just liked something where DJ took a fake shot at me and Sark was the first to jump on the like button.
Man, wow. Steve Sarkisian just hates you.
You like Michael Jackson? Michael Jackson's daughter's good looking.
Yeah. Right? She looks a little like Ruth.
Ruth Langmore?
Yeah.
Eh,
a little bit in the face. a little bit. I don't know if she's got Ruth's mouth.
She's all tatted up if you see her, Paris Jackson.
Yeah, she really?
She got a lot of tattoos, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big tat guy. I don't know. That's just me.
I bet we could show you pictures where you're all right.
Right? no offense, Holly.
Offense taken.
Well, man, I was listening to AJ, the way he talks about Holly on the show.
It's aggressive, isn't it?
Have you ever heard that?
No, but I can imagine.
Raheel used to?
I was like, man.
Like take shots at her?
Oh, my goodness.
Raheel did, too.
Really? Yeah.
Why are they so disrespectful?
To Holly. Know.
Get your man.
She's a nice young lady.
Raheel.
She's a nice young lady. Raheel was pissed yesterday. Fine young lady, upstanding in the community. Okay? She's got a lot of tats, but...
But that doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't mean anything.
That says nothing about your character.
We had to have a talk with Madi. Madi called. I'm watching an old video from Jane Child, right? The song came on iTunes. My wife came running in. I got to get this song, blah, 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 blah. I showed her the video of Jane Child. It's called, I don't know what the name is, Don't Want to Fall in Love. Is that? And it's kind of, and so her look, she's got lines shaved in her head, spiky hair, a nose ring to her ear. Like she had a different look. She had more of kind of a punk look back in 89 when this song came out. I turned a video on. I said, you've never seen this video, have you? And I showed it to her because it's a totally different look for back in 89. But it's a vibe now that you realize, she's kind of doing something different. She was kind of channeling her early 80s punk look, even though her music wasn't punk. And Madi saw it and she goes, she's disgusting. And so we had to have a talk. I'm like, Madi, you're being so judgmental. This is not like, it's no longer a funny joke to me anymore. I now realize I got a real problem on my hands. So as we're talking to her, she goes, I didn't say she was disgusting. The way she's dressing and looks is disgusting. Like,
yeah, you got a very judgmental.
I said, what is disgusting about it? Just look at her. She dresses disgusting. That's all I said.
You got a mean girl.
I wasn't saying anything bad about her.
You got a mean girl on your hands.
I know. An accidental mean girl. She's not trying to be mean. She just wants you to look a certain. You just need to conform to certain standards.
You have to be proper or you're disgusting.
I said, Madi, I don't think she looks. I said, I think she's got like a punk rock look. She's got this. Her hair. Just because her hair is spiky and she had a nose ring and a chain that goes all the way to the ear. That didn't make her a disgusting person. Mm. I didn't say she was disgusting. She starts crying. You guys give me so much stress. I'm under so much stress in this house.
How old is she again?
She's 9. She told me our house is stressing her out. And that's all. And all we're trying to do is very politely tell her that you can't be saying people are disgusting because of how they're dressed or what kind of hair they have or whatever. And now we're stressing her out.
Well, you know what it sounds like to me, John?
Terrible.
A failure in parenting.
Yeah. First, they raised a puritanical kid.
100%.
Okay. Now they're trying to make her, and she's like, this is how you raised me.
Wait. Don't put it on. No, I agree with y'all. Nicole has failed her. 100%. I'm with you. Nicole has failed our daughter. I'm with you guys for sure. We got to stand up to her.
It's Nicole's birthday month. Okay.
Rich says, thanks for recommending Outcry. I binged it last night. No doubt, if given the opportunity, Greg will make the team at Texas if he's allowed to walk on. I actually do think if Greg Kelly from the documentary Outcry, now I saw the high school tape when he was a sophomore, but he's very fast. You can tell he may have lost some speed now. I mean, he's 25. You actually are in your physical prime now at 25. You see he's all muscled up. Like he's a lot bigger, thicker guy. I don't know how his speed is right now, but you can see when he's on that elliptical, it allows you to open up, his hips open up. Like he's got a great stride and gait. And then the director of the documentary, Pat Condellis, told us when he talked to Kenny Vaccaro, Kenny's like, dude, I thought he was an NFL player working out with him. I had no idea that this guy hasn't played football since high school. He goes, this guy looked like he looks like a pro.
Well, maybe he can get to, I told Herman, I said, coach, he's a good player. He's a really good player. Had a full ride to Texas San Antonio, and his plan was to leave San Antonio and come to the University of Texas and walk on over there. So the kid can play. I got the impression Herman kind of knew, But really, he didn't. I think he does. I think he does know, but he just is like.
I mentioned him to Derek Chang.
I don't want to deal with all this.
I mentioned it to Derek Chang, who is his recruiting guy. And if Derek mentioned it to him and they did research, the first thing they're going to think of, which is unfortunate for the kid, is just in case something pops back in.
Yeah.
Just in case anyone else that comes horrible, out and says though. Something. I don't want to. Or if people, you know, cut up the lie detector test, say, what about this fail question? And it's probably they may think, why? Well, I mean, okay, what's the best thing that happens? What's the worst thing that happens? And they probably think the worst is probably not worth the best.
I'm telling you, though, that kid can play safety for the University of Texas.
I don't know how he plays football. I haven't seen him play football since he was.
He can play. He's an instinctual football player.
Well, how do we know? It was 7 years ago.
Well, I mean.
And safety, all the highlights you saw, you didn't see. You saw one that was really good. But my question is still, when we get all excited about him, like, oh, he can play for Texas. Like, well, he was going to UTSA. Well, right. Nothing against UTSA, but that's not a big powerhouse program.
Right, right. No, that's the one thing, yeah.
But the highlights look good. But I get huddle highlights every year from people like, oh. Although some people, their huddle highlights, I want to say, this is what you put on your homework video to send to the draft guy?
Right.
Like, this is your highlight? You grabbed a guy's jersey and spun him around 10 times? This is this is your highlight tackle? This is not.
That's not what we're looking for in the NFL. I don't know. I mean, I just hope the kid gets a shot because I can't feel worse for that the wasted years of that kid's life. At the very worst, he would have been playing at Texas San Antonio, and who knows what would have happened. At the very worst, the very worst was you go to prison for 3 years when you didn't do it.
Well, the very worst in terms of his football career. he did look like a kid who had speed. I mean, what he looks like, to be honest, just when I was watching his high school stuff and knew that he was going to UTSA right off the bat, that's the kind of guy who's a special teams, like, that's a guy who you try to project as a special teams player because there are make-it guys in the NFL who are special teams players. Like Dane Cruikshank. Dale, you'll probably remember him from Arizona. You might remember him, John. He was a special teams. I think he's with the Titans now. He had special teams demon written all over him. He's a safety who's like 6'2", 218. So he's got good size. He ran in the 4.4s, vertical leap of 40 inches. And he can just run fast in a straight line, and he was an aggressive hitter. If you can run fast in a straight line and you're an aggressive hitter, the only problem now is with no kickoffs, basically kick returns being irrelevant, that's now wiped out a huge segment of special teams. You know, that's not really a thing anymore. Now you got to be a gunner. Are you a gunner on special teams where you can run down the field in a straight line and go get a punt returner? Because that's still a thing. And then you need to be maybe a little better at your backup position. Like, if you get on the field, you cannot lose a game if you get on the field. In a regular, you know, defensive or offensive
position. Well, and on top of everything else that he's got to go through, he's white. So Greg Kelly, he's white. And so it's going to count against him.
It's going to count against him?
It's going to count against him. Absolutely.
He's biracial. Dan Cruikshank was biracial, I believe.
Hey, you can't. That white boy can't play.
Texas?
And Texas?
Frankly, there's just too many white people.
Texas started a white safety, Blake Gideon.
Yeah. No, they did. And guess what he did? He dropped that interception.
Fair point.
And guess what?
Have
they had one since?
Interception?
Nope.
Or a white safety?
A white safety.
I mean.
Nope.
Well, white safeties will always be around.
White safeties will always have a shot.
Yeah. White safeties will always be around. Some can bang in the box. Some, like when Deion freaked out. You know, I notice how when they talk about unconscious bias, like, you know, against black players, for example, we had a little meeting about that. But somebody pointed out, remember when Deion was like, hold on, who just ran a 4.3?
A white guy.
And he's white. And they're like, Deion, you're not supposed to. I don't care. I'm sorry. But this white boy just ran a 4.3. We need to talk about this. Come here, young man. Come here. And it's supposed to be you're not allowed to talk to. We were given very specific instructions. We're moving you guys off the field because Bucky Brooks and Money were engaging with, like, Jordan Payton, who had played wide receiver at UCLA, didn't like something Bucky had said previously. And so after he ran his 40 and a 4.50, was like sitting and staring down Bucky the whole time. And Bucky's like, what? It's not my fault you're going to work at a Best Buy in a couple of years or something. I mean, Bucky is not for anything like that. Deion's, come here, young man. Come here. Come here. How did you do that? You just ran a 4.37 and you're a white boy. How did you do this? And I'm like, oh, I'm getting uncomfortable now. And he goes, wait till you see me vertically. Like, oh, no. He didn't say
the
that.
The guy was Timothy Bate? Or no, Troy Apke.
Troy Apke. And his vert was crazy. Yeah.
But he was
he's all right. He was a starting
safety. But he could fly. Everybody knew he could run.
Yeah, he was a track guy in high school. Yeah.
So you're saying Deion didn't do his research?
Yeah, apparently.
I'm saying Deion wasn't expecting a white safety to run in the 4.39 range.
Well, he could have bet on it.
Nor did I.
He could have bet on it at MyBookie. He could have.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. You can bet on it. You can bet on all kinds of things at MyBookie.ag. You bet, you win, they pay. That's the most important thing. MyBookie set up to the minute odds on all the teams with the start of Major League Baseball. Hey, your Astros are playing tonight. They're going to be a big favorite. We'll have to take a look at what kind of favorite they are. But listen, how about putting some money on Astros to win at all? You can do that as well. But you can also do it with the NBA, the NHL, NFL. NFL opening day lines are already out. You want to take your Texans? Okay. Go do that. But you can if you want to. And listen, my bookie's going to match your initial deposit 100%. Plus, they'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager. Just enter promo code radio when signing up. That's promo code radio. MyBookie.ag. You bet, you win, they pay.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the go-go. I'm in love with the go-go.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance is getting scammed. Somebody's running a Social Security scam on him.
A live person or recorded?
I think, yeah, it's a live person. Oh. Yeah. Okay, what do you think the odds are for Verlander tonight?
Who was he pitching against?
Marco Gonzalez.
I don't know. What's the equivalent of a 14-point favorite in baseball?
Well, -1.5, and so you have to win by 2 runs, and you're still a 155 favorite. So you have to bet 155 to win 100, and you have to win by 2 runs. Now, if money line is, which whoever wins, he's a 3-1 favorite. Whoa. Now, the favorite, though, is over 8.5 runs. Over 8.5 runs.
Verlander known to give up a couple dingers.
He is.
So you saw early dingers yesterday on both sides. The first 5 innings
Holy
was
crap.
Four.
Did you see Stanton hit that ball?
The first 5 innings was 4. The over-under was 4. And that's with Scherzer. Usually, in season, you catch a 3.5. An under would be probably -140.
What's weird
here, for Cole Scherzer.
It'll be interesting to see because Gonzalez is a lefty. They faced lefties the first two games. So, Gonzalez is a lefty, and so is Walker. So, they switched it up. Walker wasn't supposed to start game two. So Walker is starting game two. They're throwing a righty. We talked about this. Kikuchi was supposed to start game two, but apparently he's not. Walker's a righty. So we talked about this with the Lance and I did yesterday on our, we did something for Sports Map, but I don't think it is talked about enough. Is that you have to face, if you're a reliever, you have to face 3 guys.
Yeah, we really haven't talked about that on the show much. That's a really big deal because you can't just go okey-doke with whoever you're bringing in. If you know you got to face 3 guys, you can't just bring in. Like, you got to really think about who you're bringing in and what their lineup is. If you're going from hitter number probably 1 through 6 in most cases in the American League, it's got to be a plus reliever. You can't just have one of your slappies come in.
No. And it changes up. Now, mention this. I always thought it was, well, whatever, righty, lefty. You want to split up your lineup with, and oh, by the way, you don't want to be all right-handed. You don't want to be all left-handed. You definitely, the Astros have got a nice situation here because, well, they've got, and I think you're going to see that they might have to move Brantley into the three hole and Bregman back into the four hole because you want to split that up, because if it's Springer, Altuve, Bregman, three righties, if you're coming up into in an inning with a reliever, or they're coming up in the order and you want to bring in a reliever, you're going to have a right-hander for sure come in. Now, if Brantley's batting third, you got a right-hander now that has to face Brantley. That's a different story. Mm-hmm. That's a much better situation. And then Bregman, and then Yordan when he gets back, then Yuli and Correa, and then Reddick or Tucker. Now you split up that righty-lefty pretty good, where at least every third guy, you've got a lefty up there, so that they can't just bring in somebody to face three guys from the same side. It's going to be kind of a big deal. And I think that they're going to have to move, and they're going to find that the Brantley should be batting third and Bregman fourth for that reason.
I just think that, I don't know that the Astros will make batting lineup changes based on the idea of some reliever coming in to face three guys in a row. Like, I don't think that trumps the comfort level
last year they batted Brantley and Bregman fourth anyway.
I think if they're
comfortable, it's not like you're drastically changing your situation.
But I think if they're comfortable with a certain way, they'll just stick with that certain way. Now, maybe things will be different with Click and Dusty. I don't know.
Maybe, but here's the problem with it. If you go, when Yordan is back, if you go Bregman and then Brantley and then Yordan, you could, now I'm definitely bringing a lefty to face those two, and I'll take my chances with a lefty against Yuli.
So I would say around the postseason, that'd be accurate.
You don't want those two lefties back-to-back. You just don't. You want to break it up so that you've got lefty, righty, lefty. Now I've got to bring in a left-hander to face Brantley. Then that left-hander has to face Bregman. That's a big advantage.
So you want Bregman four.
Yeah.
And Yordan five.
And Bregman's batted fourth before.
If Yordan is still around, there is nothing new on Yordan.
There's nothing,
I've
period.
I've searched the social media accounts. I've searched everything. There is nothing on Yordan. Nothing. There's not, Yordan's doing fine. Yordan, oh, somebody in the Dominican said this, and this is something that came out on a blog in the Dominican that talks about Yordan. And, you know, there's no one grasping onto any straws that I've found that tell me anything about Yordan or Urquidy. They have done an amazing job of keeping this under wraps, whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm.
For them to be out this long, I mean, they must, I guess they're dealing with some stuff. I guess it's not an easy go
there's
for them.
Absolutely,
Russell,
no.
Westbrook, I had it. I tested positive. I'll see you guys. I'm quarantining. I'll see you guys. We'll practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yordan, and go look at the last update on Yordan. It's been over 2 weeks. That's what?
Nothing.
That's how long some people are in the hospital.
Did you see what the NCAA just said?
What?
If, according to Brett McMurphy of At Stadium, NCAA advises schools that after a student athlete has a confirmed positive COVID test, they won't have to test again for next 3 months unless they show symptoms. For example, players who test positive in July will not have to test again until October. So Dabo's like, I told you, let's all get it now. And then you won't even have to be tested again until October.
That runs contrary to some of the science coming out where some guys are getting it a second time. They are finding that there are some. It's not a huge percentage, but there are some who are getting it again. Okay, well.
Y'all think they ain't trying to play football this year?
No, they're trying to play football.
Everything possible.
They know. And it's not about sacrificing children and all this stuff. Like, people will, they'll try to go the worst possible way they can frame it. But I'm interested to see how it's going to go how it's going to go fall versus spring. I'm really interested. Because me as a draft writer, I'm going to have to basically put all my attention on players who are playing in the fall and grade them as quickly as possible. And then I'm going to have to just kick on the tape for spring football. I don't know. Spring football is going to run about the time of the draft. I guess you get drafted when you're in like week 9 of your season.
I saw the one of the leagues, whether it be the SWAC or MEAC, if they get to play in the spring, will start training in January. It'll be an 8-week ramp up, so they will be playing at the beginning of March for their season. And because they're only playing each other, most likely, how long is that? A 2-month season, so they'd be done by the end of May, if their schedule holds up like that. But I don't see any Power Fives playing in the spring, because because how do you take one of your teams out of competition for
it's
a potential title?
None. Yeah, it's all or none.
I don't think we talked about the Pac-12, considering their liberal stances, at least the states, even though they have a plan in place where they look to be playing 10 games. They looks to be finalized as long as the presidents vote on it. How do you, if you're Oregon, who's going to be a top 10 team, how do you justify, wait a minute, we get to play in the spring, but we don't have a shot at a national title? What is that about?
Yeah.
So I don't know how you play in the spring if you're a Power Five.
Well, this is the beginning of saying, okay, we're going to have a Group of Five championship and a Power Five championship.
That's it.
This is the beginning of it.
That's what's going to happen. That is more than likely going to be the case. It's good. They are going to separate. They're going to set. The Power Five is going to break off. I don't think that it's not long for this world. It will happen, and that's going to suck for the teams left behind. It's going to suck if University of Houston can't find a way to get themselves in. At this point, right now, I believe it's 64 teams that are in the Power Five. So I think it's the number 64,
and that's including like a BYU who is an independent.
That does not include them or Notre Dame. Okay. So that would be 66. If they could get it up to 72, U of H has got a shot. If they could get it up to...
Like teams like you, it's mostly the American, although Boise would say, hey, what about us too?
Boise would say that.
At Boise, UCF, Houston,
like,
Memphis.
Like there's teams, though, that would be like Tulsa.
Yeah, they
would be
left behind.
They would be left behind.
But the teams we've seen...
Memphis.
Pretty much the teams we've seen who are always competing for a shot at that New Year's Six
Central
game.
Central Florida.
Maybe even Cincinnati.
Yep. Cincinnati would get there.
Yeah.
Central Florida would get there.
Yeah. They'd leave USF behind.
South Florida get there.
You think so?
I think so.
Because of Tampa?
They've got a Tampa market.
Yeah.
Houston's got the Houston market, too.
Oh, I'm not saying Houston wouldn't be part of it, yeah.
But Texas and Texas A&M might push back. I don't know. 929 ESPN, 97.5. Time to talk about some little testosterone for the peeps.
Men's T Clinic is hoping that you have more than a little testosterone, but the fact is that 33% of the men out there approaching and over the age of 40 will see a drop in testosterone. And when that happens, and if that happens, you are going to see some telltale signs. It could be any or all of these. You can have a drop in libido. You can have a drop in energy level, which is one of the easiest ones to detect, is a serious drop in energy level. Another easy one to detect is a lean muscle mass reduction. And you go from having lean muscle mass to more belly flab. And it's something you think, man, I don't know. I'm eating the same. My workouts are the same. Oh, this is a pretty good indicator then. And you know how a lot of people just say, well, when you get older, this happens. Well, yeah, it can happen, but it happens at a more exaggerated rate for men who drop in testosterone. And you can get back to being the real you by getting your testosterone levels right. Men's T Clinic will test you. They get results within minutes, and then they can get you tailored to a program that is going to be right for you. Men'sTClinic.com. That's Men'sTClinic.com. 5 locations in the Houston area. Men'sTClinic.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State. We're Texas proud and we shout it loud. Our brand of baseball is great. Our outfield has plenty of muscle. Our guys can sure hit a ton. For Minute Maid thrills, watch them hustle, catching hard hit balls on the run. Our infield is solid and steady, making big plays is their thing. Feel a base hit and run, yeah, they're ready. All aboard, cause it's time for the game.
Woo! Woo!
Our destination is clear, and you can tell when we cheer. Houston is all systems go. Our toes are on back with every crack of the bat. We love to hear that whistle blow. All aboard for the
Oof, octave change.
And another key change.
Yeah.
Key changes you up and then right back down. To the genius of the song. He didn't mention any player names, so it's not dated. It's just me and Matt Thomas used to have legitimate arguments about this song versus Go Go Astros. Legitimate arguments.
Go Go Astros is stupid.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Once we started bringing in All Systems Go, all of a sudden they, you know, they get on the road to a title. Go Go Astros is the sound. That's song like of non-championships.
That was when was Go Go Astros in the 60s?
It was no. It was like it was in the 80s.
80s?
Yeah, it was in the 80s.
Oh man,
this wasn't a great. It just wasn't
it's
a great
embarrassing.
Song.
Embarrassing.
It didn't hit the same.
This is from the 90s. Or yeah. I knew this. San Francisco Giants Sam Coonrod refused to kneel for Major League Baseball BLM moment.
Who?
Sam Coonrod. I don't know. He says, I'm a Christian. Well, see, now the story isn't, TMZ did this story. It's not who's kneeling. It's who's not kneeling. That's the story now.
Yeah, multiple people have picked it up. San Francisco Chronicle, as you might imagine, NBC Sports, USA Today. Yeah, he said he cites his faith as why he did not kneel. Now, I'd have to read the article completely to find out. I'm a Christian.
I just believe I can't kneel before anything besides God.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Fine. Are we done now? We don't have to lambaste him because he gave his opinion? Or do we have to do that now?
Well, okay.
I think it will. Well,
he went into why he doesn't like Black Lives Matter.
I just can't get on board with a couple of things I've read about Black Lives Matter, how they lean towards Marxism, and they said some negative things about the nuclear family. I just can't get on board with that. No ill will, he said by his sister. I'm not mad at someone who decided to kneel. I just don't think it's too much to ask that I just get the same respect. All right.
I have noticed there's a difference between people who talk about the group Black Lives Matter that has been out for quite some time. It started as a movement in 2013 and it became a group. And then the concept of Black Lives Matter. Like, you've been a big proponent from the very beginning about, hey, how do you not say this? I know my buddy Chris Ballard went out publicly and said this, like, Black Lives Matter. The phrase Black Lives Matter. They matter to me. They matter. They should matter to all of us. Why is it hard saying it? And I've noticed that there is a, just sitting here watching this, there's a disconnect for some people between a group that has been out for a long time and then the concept, because there are, in some people's eyes, two different things. And what that's why, and I bring that up because that he is talking about a group, in his opinion, as opposed to the concept, where other people talk about the concept. I just noticed people are missing each other on some of the things that they're talking about because they see things differently.
Wasn't there a mission statement by
on the website? And you can get into it, and that's where his nuclear family thing comes from.
Right.
But as you pointed out, Lance, some people have said, well, sure, that's that movement, but there's also the concept of, hey,
right,
black lives
and I don't how
in
I
general
see
matter.
How anyone could be against the concept of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and LeBron came out yesterday and said he doesn't like it being referred to as a movement.
It's not a movement.
It's just a lifestyle.
We want you
to realize that this Black Lives Matter.
Did you hear Louis Riddick this morning?
No, I didn't
hear it. I did.
Yeah. He's spectacular. There should always be a place to listen to Louis Riddick. I think that guy is just tremendous. And he said, listen, this is not just about now. It's not a movement because it's not just starting. This has been happening to blacks in America for hundreds of years. So it's a lifestyle. It's a way that we've lived. It's a way that America has gone about. And so this is not a movement. This is a response to how blacks have been treated forever here, and it has to change. And I agree 100%. This needs to change. Coonrod is going out there. But I love that the media now, hey, guy didn't kneel. We got to get the – before it was, this guy knelt. Let's go talk to Kenny Stills. Let's go talk, let's go talk to Eric. Let's go talk to
– oh. If it bleeds, it leads.
That's right.
Also,
what's the one that's well,
now,
the
but
most,
now,
it, also,
but
it's out of, it's not the
it's
norm
on a
anymore.
180 of
yeah, which one gets the most interest?
Right.
And also, not kneeling is now the uncomfortable non-norm.
Right.
Now.
Yeah.
Right.
As opposed
it's
to what it was
amazing.
Before.
It's amazing. The George Floyd incident changed everything. I mean, changed everything because really, if you had asked. If Drew Brees had made his comment, the exact comment he made, if he had made it May 1st, there would not have been a big story about it. There would not have been anything. Players kneeling would have been players kneeling. News media would have said, here's players who are still kneeling. And Michael Bennett has a fist up. And Kenny Stills is kneeling with a fist up. And it wouldn't have been as big, you know. But it is amazing how in the span of, because you could have said this really in June, in early June, how it has the shift. I don't ever remember a shift like this
no.
in terms of total consciousness of perception.
Never.
This quickly.
It's been
except maybe 9/11, but, maybe in some
But it's
some
so
ways.
Funny. It, and those and I was were you watching the soccer game? What was the soccer game yesterday with the coaches had Black Lives Matter
t-shirts on yet? Yeah, the
yeah,
MLS,
Real
yeah.
Salt Lake.
Kind of throughout the tournament, almost all the coaches
yeah,
were wearing
all
those
of them
t-shirts.
Have been, yeah. yeah.
It, was that MLS or was that?
It was MLS.
Oh, it's MLS. Yeah. All the coaches have that. Okay. Well, but the movements around the world.
Yeah.
The movements around the world yeah. has been just unbelievable.
The Premier League was one of the first back, and they kneeled before the starts, and they all had Black Lives for the first games. They had Black Lives Matter
well, did,
across
I mean,
the back of the jerseys.
Right. But when I saw
Bundesliga did also, I believe.
Yeah, I think
early
so
on.
Too.
But when
too.
I saw the parades in Australia and the rioting in London and Paris,
yeah.
I was like, what the hey.
Look, that
is this our problem or is this everybody's
well,
problem?
Black people live everywhere, and I'm sure they're suffering the same issues.
Well, and police brutality.
Certainly. Yeah. Now, it didn't get as much attention. We talked about it a little bit, but because it happened with the MLS, I mean, how many people were even locked in on it? But the length of time that Derek Chauvin leaned on George Floyd's neck was 8 minutes 46 seconds. And the MLS, before the first game,
yeah.
they had a demonstration where there was silence and people were on their knees for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And you know how long that
long
felt.
Time.
So that was the implication. Now, if the NBA did something like that right before the start of their first official game, like that first national broadcast game, you know what type of effect that might have on people. So I think that video and the length of time that officer was on his neck, like you said, Lance, it changed. It shouldn't have because black people have been dying at the hands of police for a bit, but it just changed. Changed everything. It has flipped the script. And if, like, I think, what did he say? Coonrod, him not kneeling anyone not kneeling will be a bigger story than anyone kneeling going forward.
Oh, no, going forward.
But it will be the same attention probably given to them that players who kneeled got in the football and in the NFL.
Not really. No, Colin Kaepernick got way more attention than Coonrod.
No. I mean, not Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, I mean, just the ancillary players. Who would kneel? Like, here's the guys
Kenny
who kneeled.
Stills.
Remember, articles were written about here's the players who kneeled for each team. ESPN had a rundown of every player who kneeled for every NFL team.
Yeah.
Here are the five players. Well, here are the seven.
Again,
players.
wait for the NFL season. And that dude, that coach, that old yeah. coach that doesn't want to kneel, it's going to be, or won't come out of the locker room.
Because baseball, we can talk about it. Baseball is a predominantly white sport. And despite their
white and Latin American,
certainly,
yeah,
certainly doesn't. It's not the black players have been decreasing over the years, and the fan. I mean, I can't just speak for myself here. I guess you guys could talk about it too. How many are there? A large segment of the population, as far as black people who are fans of baseball, who are locked into baseball. Baseball's had that problem. They don't have the type of attention from black Americans that they've had in the past. Black Americans watch football. It's a predominantly black sport. So the first non-black person to not kneel is going to get it far, far, far more strongly than Coonrod's getting because everyone's going to look at him and go, wait a minute, you're in a sport dominated by black people and you won't kneel to show support?
That's right.
It's going to be rough for that person if they decide to do it.
Yep. Yep. No, I'm telling you.
There will be
the standard is going to be everybody kneel. And if you don't, you're going to have to answer for it in that locker room. Hey, we got fireworks tonight.
Yeah.
How about that?
Skeeter's Friday fireworks.
So, yeah. Not so much Skeeters, but it's,
I mean the Constellation Baseball League.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it might be the Skeeters playing. You know, they're still. Well, today is actually is today. I think it's tomorrow where they have the Sloths. You know, one of the team's name is the Sloths.
Yeah.
And they have a foam sloth hand, like a claw hand. That's the Sloth Claw, and they're giving that one out as well. There's a lot of cool. There's a lot of cool little things that are going on with the. I call them the Skeeters, but it is there's four teams comprised of A and double A players. Out there at the ballpark at Constellation Field, the rain has cooled things down. I mean, it's gonna be a great weekend.
Yeah,
it may be a little wet. We got to check the weather.
Fireworks tonight, and then every Saturday and Sunday they got giveaways as well. Maybe that'll be part of that. Tickets start at just $9. 2,000 fans a night for the ballpark. Thoroughly sanitized before and after each game. Go to SugarlandSkeeters.com if you want to be a part of it. Roger Clemens and Kobe are managers, along with Pete Incaviglia and others. 21 players have already reached the big leagues. 13 more are former first-round picks. SugarlandSkeeters.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
946 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780. Verlander's now, he's not minus 290, he's minus 300 now. It's already gone up. Marco Gonzalez. Would you take the under or the over, 8.5?
Over.
Over's the favorite, minus 115.
Mm-hmm. I think you have to.
Under is minus 105.
Especially the way they've been jumping on people. The bats look like they're...
Well, you think that they're going to hit Marco Gonzalez. Sometimes they struggle with lefties, though.
Mm-hmm. A lot of really good right-hand hitters.
Yep. And how much will Verlander give up?
And a professional left-hand hitter.
He's a pro hitter, bro. He is so good.
Michael Brantley.
He is so good.
So quiet, and he can wait as long as he wants on a pitch and then just slap. Like, I really love watching him hit. He is just such a tough, tough out. It's going to be interesting to see if the Astros go with their standard, or what's become the standard, of really watching pitches, working counts, making pitchers work, or if they say, hey, we're going to jump on you early. We think you're going to throw more mistake pitches, so we're going to look for mistake pitches early on.
Astros under over number of runs. What do you think it is?
Individual team?
Yeah.
4.5.
5.5.
Yeah, I guess it has to be.
Mariners are 2.5.
Yeah, it has to be. Because it's Verlander. If you're going up to 8, it's got to be, yeah.
And that's only 8, not 8.5. The two teams are 2.5 and 5.5.
That's a tough number. I think I'm going to go with the 7 runs for the Astros.
You're going with 7 tonight?
I'll go 7-2 final.
7-2, so you're going over Astros, under Mariners.
Mm-hmm. But Verlander could be dominant for 6 innings, 1 hit you with 0 runs. And then they still get their runs after that. By the way, so what happens now that Jordan's not even on the 30-man? What does that mean for Jordan?
Well, I think he's a DL guy. He's on the DL.
Yeah, but what's the process?
Well, he's off the DL.
Like, there's no process. They haven't changed anything. He can just roll right onto the... Well, because you remember you had a 40-man,
yeah,
right? And then you had the DL and you had 40-man. Just because you have the 30-man doesn't mean anything.
No.
It's a standard...
What is it, a 60-man?
Just your standard roster with Yeah. I mean, there's not anything to worry about.
No, he's
other
not,
than the fact that...
He's not... We don't know
he's
anything.
He's been out for... He hasn't posted anything on social media since the blackout Instagram square. That's the last thing he's posted.
Where is Jordan? Does anybody know?
We'll mess around and catch a hashtag pray for Jordan. We can't lose the Michael Jackson of left-handed rookie hitters. I mean, Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan. No one wants to be the Michael Jackson.
Michael, that's what I was like, what?
The Michael Jordan. The Michael
I never
Jordan.
Saw a picture of Jordan carrying Webster around?
Michael Jordan. No, we haven't seen that. We have seen about four other people. One thing we found out is that everyone... Del, I don't know in 2020 if anyone's going to think it's okay to just pick up somebody else's child. Whether they are 13 and look 5, or whether they are real 6-year-olds. Uh-huh. Like, who snatches up other people's kids and starts carrying them around like a toddler?
I think that...
In the 80s, that was just
that's the thing.
Okay.
It's not a thing anymore. You can't pick up someone's kid. Not like that.
Even if he's a star.
No, you can't just grab... I don't know any young...
I'm trying to think, like, little Luke, right, from Modern Family, year one.
You can't pick up the kid from the room. What is his name? The kid who was with the in that movie?
Yeah.
You can't just pick up that kid and take him to place.
Is there any kid that's like... Because you used to have Cosby kids. You had Webster. You had Gary Coleman. No one picked up Todd Bridges. I never saw anyone try to pick up Todd Bridges.
Oh, he was a grown man.
Yeah, he was too old. But he was too old even then for you to be trying to snatch up Todd Bridges.
No one picked. Did anyone pick up the Olsen twins?
In public
when they were like when they were they were babies when they were on that show.
Did some
hold on?
And they also did like TV. Straight to video stuff. And that's where they made all their money.
See how skinny they are. You could pick them up right now.
They're grown women. We're not doing that. I don't remember like a pop star.
I'm looking.
No, we're not.
I'm looking at, and I just typed in Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen children. I'm trying to look for, and I haven't seen anyone holding them up to this point.
Did non-Full House co-stars ever just pick them up? Like, did some pop star pick them up? Did Blondie just pick up the Olsen twins at some point and go, hey, I like you two? It doesn't happen. It only happened with Mike.
Mike just got away. He knew it, too. He's like, man, watch what I can do. I can pick up kids. I can pick up kids. I can take them to the – I'll bring up – watch this. It's like a Michael Jackson heat check. I'm going to wear a glove. Here's what I'm going to do. I want you to listen to this. I'm wearing a glove with a sequin. Just one. It's going to be huge. Like a huge glove. Not a small one. Not a golf glove. I'm wearing a big-ass glove, like something you would handle dry ice with sequins. I'm going to walk up there with Liz Taylor, who's been divorced 7 times, who's 58 probably now. I'm going to roll up there with her, and I'm going to have Webster. No, Mike, no. Yes, I'm going to bring Webster up, holding him like a toddler, and then give a speech to accept the AMA. Mike, wait. You're going to go up with Taylor, Elizabeth Taylor, an older white lady, Webster, and you're going to hold Webster like a toddler, and you're going to have a sequin glove, and you're going to go up and accept an award doing all that. Yes, watch. And then next week, I'm switching it out for Brooke Shields.
Yeah, do you know that I made Thriller? I'll do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I can do anything I want. Did you see everywhere I step, the light pops up in the square?
So did you see the picture with me and Webster in the bed with the baby bottles? Yeah. I can do whatever I want.
I hadn't seen that one yet. Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen that. I don't know if that's worse. I think the one that KJ had was worse. I think that's
the
worst.
On the guy on the bed.
Yeah, that's 100% the worst one. The baby bottles is a distant second. As hard as that is to say, Emmanuel Lewis with the drinking out of a baby bottle when he's about 13 years old, and Michael Jackson laying in bed next to him with a baby bottle also, is the second worst picture I've seen today. And I never thought that would be the case. And the internet's here. Like, I can see lots of terrible things today. And I'm going to make that, the other picture that I saw, a huge favorite to hold its ground as the worst picture I will see in July.
Mm-hmm.
Probably this summer.
Can Father TJ pray for Jordan?
Yeah.
Is Father TJ around?
He's allowed to pray, for
you
everyone.
Can't
but it counts more if Father TJ doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. God's not going to listen to you.
Yeah,
I didn't see that anywhere in the Bible where
no.
It's implied. It's implied.
By who? The people in the cloth?
Common sense. He's not listening.
No, John's prayers mean just as much.
No.
I know it says
John's.
But I just feel like Father TJ's got a better chance. I'm just going to be honest with you. Do you feel like you got a better chance with Father TJ?
Yes. I'd much rather have Father TJ praying for me than me praying for me.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's just common sense, Del.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not saying you don't follow the word, but I'm also saying, let's also you know, get our best and brightest.
Well, I've never read anywhere where one man's prayer
means
more.
You're not going to read it. It's in.
Do you? Oh, you think the people?
It's in Philistine.
I feel like
see it.
The Philistine.
Philistine. Yeah,
it's in one of the books. It's
Are you sure you've read the
Ecclesiastics?
Bible?
Ecclesiastics.
It's in the Book of Matthew. I think I saw it in Godspell in a musical.
No, I feel like that
Godspell wasn't in the Bible.
No, I feel like that came from the
Book of Matthew.
I feel like the guy that came from the guys who wear the cloth. Like, hey, our prayers mean more than yours.
But
I don't remember God ever saying that.
Listen, okay, you got a gun to your head. Who do you want praying for you, Father TJ or me?
Hey, I want everyone praying for me.
Yeah, everyone.
All the prayers matter. All prayers matter.
Mm-hmm. All? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Not all.
Mm-mm. Not John's?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. We're not making fun of. We don't say matter anymore. We don't even say soccer matters anymore.
Yes, we do. Ooh, I love that show.
Did he change his
show
name?
Why you mess with
soccer's important is now coming on Tuesdays?
Matters? Okay. Matter has been taken.
Why are you messing with Glenn Davis' show and his branding?
Soccer's important.
Soccer.
Hi, Glenn Davis here. Make sure and listen to Soccer's Very Important. Coming up every week, we got a new brand, new logo, and soccer is still important.
Do you think of Glenn Davis' show like when national people are like, oh, he's trying to co-opt Black Lives Matter. Get him out of here.
Glenn's like, hey, I've been Soccer Matters for decades.
Sorry, we taken that. You can't have it anymore. What? No, what now?
Fine. All prayers mean a lot.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Dell. I can get behind that. That's fine.
713-780. What are you doing now? Are you out? You're beating it?
We have got to. Can we abolish beating it too at the end of the show?
I always say Lance is leaving, but.
I think that's way more respectful. Today's actually a. See all these? This is happening today. All these envelopes.
Who gets bills in the mail anymore?
All these envelopes are happening. I don't even know if all of them are bills. I don't know. I don't expect. Nothing good comes in envelopes anymore. When's the last time you got something good in an envelope?
I didn't get any checks from the government, so no, never.
When is the last time never. You said, there was a good. Time in your life where you said, hey, I have some mail. Cool.
Yeah.
There's some mail. What do I got here? Oh, okay. This is good.
I don't know that
nothing
ever happened
good
either.
Comes in an envelope.
I'm not sure that happened either.
It's either junk mail or someone trying to extract money.
I mean, if I order something, that comes in the mail. Oh, look, this shirt I ordered came in. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, packages in the mail.
Packages.
We
in
get them
the
every
mail.
Day.
Yeah.
My wife. My.
But that's not in an envelope.
Order something online every
nothing
day.
Nothing comes in an envelope is good.
I'm my mom's only child, so she'll send me stuff in an envelope.
Oh,
that's
well, see,
nice.
That's the only
that's
thing
nice.
You have going.
Yeah.
Is that older people?
That's
parents
nice,
will
though.
Still send. They still send the written word letters,
yeah.
Or maybe not letters, but cards.
Card. Yeah.
Birthday card.
On a birthday.
Does your mom ever put cash in a birthday card?
Well, she's works at a bank, so it wouldn't be cash. She might cut a check.
She got a check. My mom hit me with the bill in the birth. I just took it. That's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't have the heart to tell her we don't use cash anymore. Cash is out. Cash gives you
no.
You get COVID.
Oh no, cash is king. Still, you got. Listen, stuff falls off a truck. You can't use a credit card.
What world is Lance living in where stuff falls off a truck?
Stuff falls off a truck.
I don't live.
All
stuff doesn't fall off a truck. I don't live in Chicago and. Growing up with Odd Jobs Incorporated, like, hey, we got a little shipment that fell off a truck. Would you like for us to do your kitchen? We can do a nice backsplash, and while we're at it, we got a very beautiful barbecue pit that we can give you as well. A great discount.
And meanwhile, while the lady's back is turned, things are falling apart, and they're just trying to get out of there before she notices.
Love my favorite story of all time, with a tile sliding down. They're waiting for that check, like, oh. Man, just rip it out. Just give us a whole book, checkbook. We'll bring back what we don't need.
Mm-mm. Cash. Always get cash. Always. And use cash. 713-780-377-6959. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.